We're talking about investing amid the pandemic and how to keep long-term investment nest eggs intact in these difficult times. It is an hour on your pocketbook issues here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. In this time of national crisis, it feels really natural to want to freeze up and not touch any assets if finances haven't been burned off by a layoff or furlough. Thinking about stocks that have lots of potential reward but elevated risk, who can stomach more risk now? So more than 6 months into this global pandemic, our lives are still plagued by uncertainty. How have you been approaching finances and money management in these times? Are you struggling to plan for your future? Join in at 800-642-1234 with your money situation. Deborah DeLeers is a DePere-based financial advisor with Northright Financial. Deb, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's great to be here.
So how have you seen the markets react to the coronavirus?
So I think this year has been very interesting. Markets typically don't like uncertainty. And while I think many investors and advisors were preparing for some volatility this year, knowing that we were coming into an election year, COVID-19 was absolutely unknown, and it brought with it a lot of uncertainty because we didn't know how wide-ranging the virus's impact would be. We didn't know how long it would affect our economy. And as a result, back in March, we saw a pretty significant market decline that brought us into a recession. And to some extent, those unknowns are still there. We're hopeful for therapeutics and a vaccine. But as you know, and as the residents of Wisconsin know, we're still struggling to contain its impact. So the markets have been responsive to that uncertainty and unknown, although to some extent, they've been progressing. So we saw our market decline hit its valley in March. And since then, we largely have come back to pre-COVID market ranges, but that doesn't mean we still don't have volatility. That doesn't mean that all of the accounts have recovered. And so it's really a situation where we have to be strategic and keep those long-term investment goals in mind.
Yeah, so how do you advise clients right now? How do you advise people to approach their investments in a time of recession?
So typically, I think with any client, regardless of whether we're in a recession or we're in a bull market with a good economy, what I tell clients is it's really important to know what your long-term goals are and then know what you own. What stocks, what funds do you actually hold in your account, and do they make sense for you? It's important to have an equity allocation in your account that makes sense for your unique situation. So when I say equity allocation, you may hear an advisor say, oh, your account is a 70-30. What that means is that 70% of their investment account is invested in equities, which are either stocks, funds that hold various stocks, something that can tend to gain you a lot of reward in the market, but also carries with it a significant amount of risk. And so the percentage of equity that you have in your portfolio, in your account, will determine how much fluctuation, to some extent, you're going to see in your values. And so we have to make sure that that allocation makes sense. It is not a one-size-fits-all for every client. And then also diversification. So an example that I typically tell people is if you put everything that you own into one individual stock, if you put all of your money into Apple, for example, and Apple comes out with a new product that has a technical issue, or there's a lawsuit, or their leadership changes, your investment account will plummet because all of your eggs are in one basket, so to speak. So it's important.
Diversify is a key word, I think, what I'm hearing.
Yes, you want to make sure that you own various sectors of the market, various types of companies, both in the U.S., internationally, in emerging markets. So it's making sure you have the right blend so that when the market is going up and down, your account is more stabilized.
We're talking with financial advisor Deb DeLeers. She's with us as we discuss how to approach managing our investments during a recession amid the pandemic. Have you seen financial setbacks due to these times? What type of a support or guidance are you searching for? Do you have questions about how to manage your money now? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Deb, for people who are fortunate enough to have a steady paycheck amid the pandemic, maybe even a growing paycheck, now might be perhaps a good time to cautiously consider investing in the stock market. How would you do that if you are new to the market?
So one of the things that we utilize with clients during this type of setting is a strategy that's called dollar cost averaging. So if you're new to the market, you want to take advantage of some of the companies or funds that are at a very low price right now just because of what's happened. You can take a small portion of your money and inject it into the market on a monthly basis. So, for example, if you have $100,000, and of course it's a large sum, but it's easy math. So you, rather than injecting that full $100,000 into the market today, knowing that we're likely going to see some volatility, you can put in $25,000 this month, and then next month inject another $25,000, and so on until the full amount is invested. And what that does is it gives you the opportunity, if the market does go down further and you feel comfortable injecting more cash more rapidly, you can. You can be more strategic with how that money is actually going into the market. Another thing that we are looking at for clients are using index funds. So when you buy an index fund, you are basically buying ownership in the basket of stocks that make up that index. So, for example, the S&P 500 is one of the most commonly known indexes. Mm-hmm. And if you buy a fund that tracks the S&P 500, as the S&P continues to grow and come up, your account and your balance should come up with it. And the S&P 500 is kind of like Darwinism. It's the survival of the fittest of those companies. And so it will self-fluctuate based on what companies are really performing in the country and the economy. And so it's a way to own a piece of the companies that are continuing to move forward. So there's a lot of strategies for people to utilize if they're looking to buy in now.
I was looking at some of the strategies of Warren Buffett, the famous uber successful investor, and he said it's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. How do you know the company you want to invest in has, you know, strong, stable balance sheets?
So that's something that if you're working with a financial advisor, they're going to help you look through those fundamentals. So when we're looking at the balance sheets, we're looking at how strong their cash flows are coming in, what products, if any, they're bringing to market, are they paying dividends, has their leadership been consistent? And again, when we're looking at individual stocks, you can certainly purchase individual companies that are struggling right now, just in light of the pandemic, but you can also buy funds where the fund managers are selecting and doing all of that homework for you. And so it's difficult if you're going to have a full portfolio of individual stocks to stay on top of the fundamentals of each company, but within the mutual fund setting, you kind of have that check and balance naturally built in.
You don't have to do so much due diligence. You know that it is part of a fund, if you will.
Correct.
We're talking about investing strategies and opportunities to put away money if you have some cash flow in these times. Have you made financial changes, big or small, since March? How are they working out now as we head into the winter? Are you concerned for your current investments or your ability to invest going forward? Are you new to the market and want to know how to buy a mutual fund or another type of investment? Join in. Any questions? 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Deb DeLeers right here on the Ideas Network. Thank you. You're with us for the morning show as we discuss pocketbook issues this hour, how the pandemic affects our cash flow. I'm Kate Archer Kent. President Trump tweeted this week, stock market highs vote. Stock market has rallied in these tough times. What's really driving the market upward? And should we invest in these volatile days when tomorrow could spell a layoff or furlough? Are you concerned for your current investments or your ability to invest going forward? Join in at any point. Your money situation front and center, 800-642-1234. We have financial advisor Deb DeLeers, who is our guide. So, Deb, how does a presidential election year affect the markets normally, maybe when there isn't a pandemic?
So I would say typically within an election year, particularly during primary season, we can see a lot of volatility because, again, if the market doesn't like uncertainty, when we're still trying to flush out which candidates are actually going to be on the ticket, there's a lot of uncertainty. So this year we had that coupled with the pandemic, which makes it a little bit unique. But people tend to get nervous in an election year. Politics can bring out really strong emotions and biases. And historically, when we listen to the campaigns tend to focus on more negative issues and problems within our country. So it kind of sets this tone of unease for investors. And during an election year, we often see people wanting to move to cash to be protected based on what their projected outcome might be. But what's interesting is when you look at the analysis of data over the last 85 years, so the Capital Group actually puts together a really nice guide to investing in election years. And so they've looked at data over the last 85 years of investing, which crosses 22 election cycles. And typically, looking at that data, the U.S. stocks trend up regardless of whether a Republican or a Democrat takes the White House. So while there is volatility and certainly emotion at play in the investment world, we do tend to see continued growth regardless of who gets in. So as an advisor, it's a reminder to myself and to my clients that know what you own, have a long-term plan, and if you're able to, stay the course. Because oftentimes if we're trying to time that market and buy and sell strategically, you can lose opportunity and lose growth within your account.
Right. There's that catchy phrase, time in the market, not timing the market. And this idea that you can't predict when the good days or bad days will happen in the market. And that is why at times you'll need to just kind of, I suppose, sit on your hands and just hold on.
Yes, and I would say that's if you're confident that your portfolio makes sense for you. And so that is a point that I continue to come back to because it is so important. If you're invested in a way that makes sense for you and your unique situations based on your goals, your timing of retirement, what your income needs might be in retirement, and you're properly diversified and allocated, it's stay the course. Don't make any drastic changes. If you are not confident that you're invested in a way that makes sense, there may be an opportunity within these fluctuations to be looking at that and maybe adjust your portfolio accordingly, but certainly wild swings to switch from fully invested to cash is definitely not a one-size-fits-all solution for people.
We're talking with Deb DeLeers. If you're just joining us, she's a financial advisor with Northright Financial, and we're discussing how this crazy eventful year is playing out in the stock market. Have you had to pause investments due to the recession or a job loss? What are you going through now? How are you approaching finances and money management during the pandemic? Share your questions, your insights, 800-642-1234. Deb, there are 11 million less jobs in the economy than there were before the pandemic started. How should people who've lost their job or been forced to retire approach their investments right now?
So I look at the people who've lost their jobs, and, you know, certainly if they had the opportunity for a 401k or an employer-sponsored plan, they do have an opportunity to roll that or continue managing it. You know, certainly if they had been making ongoing contributions to a plan, but now their stream of income has changed, they have to make sure they're covering their bills. So if you have to stop contributing for a period of time, I mean, obviously that's what you need to do just to be able to make sure that your bills are paid. But I think it's important that if you do have a retirement account or you are looking at either retiring now or you've lost your job, to make sure you talk with an advisor to make sure that you're properly managing those funds. What I see a lot of is when you leave a company or you retire, I would say more so when you leave a company and have the potential to move to a new employer, that retirement fund sits there and you don't really keep it top of mind. And that's where the potential to forget what you own and not check your allocations and not know whether you're diversified can come back to harm you. So number one, make sure you're keeping those funds top of mind and meeting with someone to be strategic. For those that do have a voluntary retirement or kind of forced into retirement at this stage, I think it's really important to look at what are your income needs, what are your goals, do you need to have health insurance in any sort of a gap period, and really work with someone on a comprehensive financial plan, because it can be very scary and uncertain, and you want to make sure that you're being as strategic with your money as possible. What I like to tell clients is we want to make sure we're telling our money how to work for us, instead of hoping that it does. We want to tell it what to do.
Deb, in these times, we've seen a number of people who had retired moving back into their old jobs or back into their jobs. Specifically, I'm thinking about public health workers and nurses and contact tracers who have gone back into the labor force after maybe some years of retirement. What would you advise there if you have re-entered a full-time job once you've been in retirement for years?
If your new position allows you the opportunity to potentially stop some distributions that had been coming out of your retirement plan, if you had already been taking distributions to help supplement your income, I would suggest stopping those payments or reducing them so that your account balances can continue to compound and recover as the market comes back. And certainly, if there's a new income, I think it's important to make sure that you're setting monies aside for that rainy day. So for the people that had their nest egg set aside, their 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses, the pandemic was still very scary, but they were prepared going in. And so I think this is a reminder for all of us how important it is to set those funds aside. And if you have a new stream of income, make sure you're supplementing that nest egg as well.
All right. So, you know, we've had several months of slowing job growth. How does the pace of the recovery affect long-term investments?
I think from some extent, it's consumer confidence in what's going to happen. So historically, when we have a bull market, and this is a unique situation because we were coming off of the longest bull market in the history of markets, but historically, we do see a bull market about every 5 years. Every 3 to 5 years, we do see a bull market come into play, or excuse me, a bear market come into play. And so when we're looking at that data, historically, a bull market has always come after a recession. And so it's a matter of, depending on what the economy does, depending on how confident the consumer is that the economy is coming back, that will determine how quickly we see growth back in the market. Certainly with it being an election year, depending on what will happen in that election, there could also be some policy changes that affect how businesses will structure themselves, and that could also affect some of the momentum and growth within the economy. So you can listen to analysts who say on either side, depending which candidate would win, what may or may not happen with the recovery. But again, the economy was fairly sound with good job creation prior to COVID. So if we can get a good handle on some therapeutics or a vaccine and people feel confident that they'll be able to start resuming more, I would say, normal activities, even that being work, you know, being able to continue going into work or jobs opening back up, I think you would see the market coming back much quicker. But I think there's still a lot of factors out there that are unknown.
Oh, it's interesting that you say, you know, consumer sentiment can have such a great impact, or how we feel can have such a great impact on our overall economy.
Absolutely. And I think it's a matter of, you know, obviously COVID, for example, stopped travel. Business flights weren't happening because people were working from home. Many personal flights and vacations or cruises were canceled just by default. And so now it's a matter of when are people going to feel comfortable resuming those normal activities? When are they going to be comfortable resuming that type of spending, some of that discretionary spending that will help boost the economy? Because some of the sectors that are down right now in our market are down because people aren't utilizing them. And so I think as people feel more comfortable and as things start happening within the pandemic that make us feel confident that we can go about our day safely, that will impact the market.
Financial advisor Deb DeLeers is our guide to long-term investing, how we think about financial planning in the markets. Have you experienced financial setback due to the pandemic and recession? What type of support or guidance are you searching for? Have you made financial changes since the onset of the pandemic? How are they working out at this point? Be part of this. Bring your financial issue, your financial question, 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. We'll talk it out. We'll continue this conversation on money and investing and you with Deb DeLeers after this news update on the Ideas Network. Just a heads up on our programming plans. Vice President Mike Pence and U.S. Senator Kamala Harris will meet for the vice presidential candidate debate tonight at 8. We'll bring you live NPR coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org. Right now, it's a discussion about retirement and investing. Stocks soared on Monday as investors grew more optimistic about President Trump's health and the possibility of additional stimulus aid. But then came Tuesday, right, and stocks fell after the president instructed White House officials to stop further negotiations on a stimulus relief until after the election. So now it's Wednesday, and global markets struggle to interpret the president's tweets over what the federal government should do next to prop up the economy. How do you protect the assets you do have? How do you make prudent financial decisions? Bring your personal situation, 800-642-1234. Deb DeLeers is a financial advisor with Northright Financial, and she's our guide. So, Deb, we heard from Matt in Wausau email to say Matt didn't realize how little the Dow Jones Industrial Average had to do with how the average American is actually doing financially. Matt says millions of Americans have lost their jobs and the Dow keeps rising. It just doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of looking at the full economy. And there are certainly winners and losers within the pandemic. There are a large amount of companies that have soared. For example, technology. When you look at the demographic shift of employees working from home, companies trying to pivot to support that from a technology standpoint, there have been some immense winners within the market that have allowed the market to continue doing well, even though at an individual level, there are still people who are at home who are suffering from those economic hardships, such as losing their job or maybe an extreme reduction in hours. And so it doesn't necessarily correspond one-to-one because there will always be sectors of the market that are pulling ahead.
As you said earlier about the fluctuations from economic policy implications, I mean, the Dow did fall like 600 points yesterday after the president remarked he was done on negotiating with stimulus.
Absolutely. And I think when we're looking at our day-to-day ups and downs in the market, we are going to continue to see that because it is driven to some extent, again, by sentiment and by what consumers or investors expect will happen tomorrow or the next day or in the future. And so day-to-day, we're going to see those fluctuations. For example, right now, I'm looking at the futures, which is predicting what's going to happen when the market opens, and they all seem increased at this point. So our futures are positive coming into today, but we could get another tweet, we could get another headline, we could have some additional news on the pandemic that could certainly affect what's going to happen in those markets. And so if we look at them day to day, it will likely make our stomach churn, which is why it's very important to focus on what our long-term goals are and what the projections are that make sense for us.
I want to take a moment to look at charitable giving in these times. The CARES Act allows for charitable contributions to be counted against your income this year. It was previously capped at 50%. And for those people who have been able to give this year, what does this all mean for your 2020 tax filings?
I think our 2020 tax filings are going to be interesting because we've been allowed to use some additional strategies between the charitable giving by not having to take the required minimum distributions out of our IRA accounts, for those who did lose their jobs, receiving some of that extra unemployment, which, of course, has a taxable component to it. And so when we come into our 2020 tax season, I think it's going to be important to probably consult with a CPA to look at what strategies are going to be available and how people can take advantage of some of these options. There are also investment strategies that can be utilized right now that could produce some tax incentives or some tax benefits for people, such as Roth conversions for their IRA accounts or potentially harvesting some capital losses in individual investment accounts. So taxes are, I think, going to be interesting, and that's where our CPA friends definitely come in handy.
How should people keep in mind about how their retirements are taxed? I mean, there's the traditional IRA, there's the Roth IRA. What should we bear in mind with taxation?
So when we're looking at the two types of individual retirement accounts, the traditional IRA is funded with pre-tax money. And then when you take those monies out, however much you take out, so if you take a $10,000 distribution from your IRA in retirement, that $10,000 will be taxed at your ordinary income rate in the year that you take it out. Compare that to a Roth IRA, which is funded with after-tax dollars, but then when you take monies out in retirement, you are not taxed because you've already paid the tax when you contributed to it. And so what we're talking with clients about right now is the strategy of a potential conversion where you convert some of your traditional IRA dollars into Roth IRA dollars. And so part of the strategy that we look at is your income tax bracket expected to be higher in retirement compared to what you're paying right now? If so, that would be a good incentive to potentially do a conversion. You would decide, I often say with a CPA, how much you can take out without affecting your tax brackets right now, and convert that into a Roth account so that you pay the tax now but don't have to pay the tax later when your bracket might be higher. Another strategy for the Roth conversions this year is that because so many investment accounts were reduced in value because of the market, if you convert $10,000 right now and pay the tax on the $10,000, when the market comes back and those funds, the exact same funds you own, are sitting in your Roth account, mm-hmm. you can actually see a lot of the appreciation and the rebound in your funds, and all of that appreciation that grows within your IRA is tax-free. And so it's an opportunity to take $10,000 out now, but in reality, when the market comes back, it could be valued at more than that.
Right. It could bounce back, sure, beyond that. Talking with Deb DeLeers, financial advisor with Northright Financial, we're taking your money questions, your situations amid the pandemic, and how you approach investing. 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Duane now, joining us from Weston. Hi, Duane.
Good morning. I had a question about, let's say you are got your money in a with an advisor like, you know, Fidelity or Edward Jones, and they're a balance, you know. But what if, let's say, you knew about a stock that you wanted them to put some of that money in individually, like you just had a feeling something was going to do good, like I did with Moderna. And can they move stock money out of their fund into a fund that you recommend, or a single stock that you recommend, you know?
If it's being managed by an investor, a company such as you mentioned, Deb, how does that work?
Yeah, so generally, if that's something that you would like to do, and I'll speak to how we would do it within our office. So if a client had called me to request that type of stock buy, I would sell a portion of what they currently have in their account to raise enough cash for whatever the purchase amount would be, and then I could purchase the stock that you want to invest in. Your account would then hold your portfolio, so the model, whatever you had been invested in before, plus the stock. And then every advisor or investment company would do it a little bit differently. But within our office, we would consider that stock purchase a solicited purchase, meaning you called, you wanted that. I might not be actively managing that stock and making recommendations on it. So within our office, we would not bill on that particular stock. We would continue to charge an advisory fee on what we are actively managing of the remaining funds. And then if you would call us and say, okay, I want to sell this stock now, we would be able to do that on your behalf. And so you, as the owner of that account, absolutely have the right and the voice to be able to call your advisor and say, this is what I'd like to do. They may have recommendations based on what they're seeing in the market, but certainly you have that right. And if that's what you would like to move forward with, they can execute all of those trades for you.
Dwayne, does that make sense?
Yeah, thanks. I had a feeling on this one stock, and I told my brother about it. He's the one with a lot of money in my family. And I didn't move on it, and I wished I would have, and because I'm sitting in all like 3%, and getting 1.5 to 3% because I'm kind of nervous to get back in.
And, so very conservative investments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deb, what do you?
Question.
Oh yeah, go ahead, Dwayne.
Well,
yeah.
Real quick, if let's say you have a debt and you're paying 4%, and you're not in the market, but you're only getting 1.5% in your investments because you're in, CDs or whatever. Would it be better to just take the hit on the tax, pay the debt off, and now you can use that money to try to get more? You're not paying 4% on your interest on a loan. You pay that off with money you have in your 401 because you're never going to get back into equities. So it's like, well, why should I make 1.5%? Okay, you get my point.
Deb, jump in here.
Yeah, so that I would say I look at on a case-by-case basis. Certainly there would be some situations where it would make sense, depending on what the debt is. So, for example, if it's your home mortgage and you're at 4.5%, but with where the rates are right now, you would have the opportunity to refinance and lock in at a much lower rate. I would suggest going that route and refinancing rather than taking monies out of your investment accounts. If it's a credit card debt that, is higher and it, is more advantageous in the long run to pay that off, I would, depending on your age and what the tax implications would be, potentially make that recommendation. It really is a case-by-case individual basis, depending on the debt and your investment strategy, what your tax liability would be. And if you make that decision, going in eyes wide open as to the financial implications.
Financial advisor Deb DeLeers is helping us navigate these tricky financial times, how to invest, think about retirement amid the recession. Have you changed how you invest or what you invest in to be socially and environmentally responsible? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation now with financial advisor Deb DeLeers. Stocks took a dive yesterday afternoon, as we've been talking about, after President Trump ordered an end to stimulus negotiations until after the November election. Are you an investor? How are you thinking about your portfolio 27 days before the election? We're working through your questions, your money questions, with Deb DeLeers. Let's go to Steve now, joining us from Richland Center. Hi, Steve. What's your situation?
Well, I've over the years, I've invested in several drip funds, and I'm getting really close to retirement. And I was kind of wondering if that's a safe way to go, or should I go to, change up a little bit, do something a little different now? These funds have done really well, and I don't know if it's I just don't know which way to go on it. Like I said, I'm getting pretty close to retirement, and I'm pretty safe with these funds. But I just like to know if there's maybe a better route to go than this drip thing that I've been doing over the years.
Yeah, Steve, thank you. Deb, can you explain the style drift?
Yes. So when we're looking at there's drip funds, and Steve, is that what you had mentioned was DRIP?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, drip. Okay.
Okay. So with a drip fund, that fund is automatically going to reinvest your dividends. So when you're invested in companies and companies have profit, they will pay that profit to the investors via a dividend. So it's a profit that gets added to your portfolio when they pay that out. And there are typically two options with your dividends. They can either remain in cash, and you can accumulate cash within your account, or when you have a drip program, it's going to automatically reinvest your dividends back into the fund. So as you get those profits, you're continually buying back in and increasing your market share, so to speak, within that fund. And I think that is typically, when you're just looking at the dividend reinvestment, a nice feature because you're automatically keeping some money at play. What I would have a question on, Steve, is are you comfortable with your allocation? Because I think how you're allocated and what percentage of equity you have compared to fixed income within your overall account is what you should be looking at as you get nearer to retirement. Because the dividends can continue to reinvest, but if you potentially pull back some of your equity exposure, that's going to take some of the risk out of your portfolio as you get closer into your retirement years.
Steve, thanks for the call. We had heard from Charlotte in Milwaukee who called, couldn't stay with us. And Charlotte came into a lump sum of money and doesn't want to keep it just in Charlotte's savings and wonders, what should I do with this lump sum?
So that would be a great situation to use a dollar cost averaging strategy, like I had mentioned before. If you have this lump sum and you're comfortable investing it and trying to put that money to work for you, but know that with the election coming up, with potential policy changes, and given that we're still in a pandemic, there's likely to be some volatility in the upcoming months, you could strategically place a fraction of that money into the market each month, so that you can control, to some extent, some of the market fluctuations. So if you are an investor who wants to take an opportunity and buy in and the market goes down, you can accelerate the investment into the market. And if you're more conservative and would like to hold back if the market goes down, you can potentially stop or slow the distribution and injection of cash into the market. And so it's a way to strategically move that money in, given what may or may not be happening in the next couple months with the market.
Well, Deb, only a few seconds left, but there's a sea of financial advice out there. What is your best tip for us?
My best tip is really, and I'll come back to it, it's know what you own. Know how you're allocated, know that you're diversified, and put a strategy in place that makes sense for you. No one has a cookie cutter approach to investments. Your situation is going to be unique for you based on what your needs are and what your income flows are going to be. So if you're strategic now about what your investments should be doing for you, those accounts should be able to withstand the market fluctuations better than if you're not on top of your investment.
Deb, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Deb DeLeers is a financial advisor with Northright Financial. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about reconnecting with your hometown.
Author Crystal Chan has lived in Chicago for years, but the pandemic has brought her back to Wisconsin to reconnect with her family. She shares a story of the renewed confidence she learned during hometown driving lessons, taught by her mother.
I was a junior in high school when my mother said to me, "Crystal, I love you very much, but when you're turning 18, you are leaving the house. Even if you go to college in town, you're living in the dorms. I cried myself to sleep that night. In the morning, though, my 17-year-old self was jubilant. Freedom. So I obediently did exactly what my mother demanded. When I turned 18, I went to college and I never went home to live again. Until COVID hit. I am an author, a compassion activist, and an organizer. But I also live by myself in Chicago. Very quickly, within weeks of the Chicago quarantine in March, my entire world reduced to a radius of 5 blocks. Enduring the stress of the headlines and the fear by myself took its toll on me. My mother could tell I was struggling, and she invited me to come home to weather it out for at least a couple months. So I did. That's how I found myself back in Oshkosh, Wisconsin at the age of 40. But living with my parents turned out to be one of the biggest blessings of this entire pandemic. The cooking, the conversations, the delightful surprises that happen when hearts are open. Even the grieving and anxiety, as we were together, didn't have as much power over us in our little community. I did, however, have to face the roundabouts. I went to college in Appleton, and I left Wisconsin before the roundabouts came in. So at the age of 40, my mother gave me driving lessons. My mother had also given me driving lessons when I was 15. She had taught me on a stick shift, a Toyota. She had been patient and endured those grinding moments when I ground the gears and the entire car seized and shook. One COVID April morning, I said to Mom, "There shouldn't be a lot of people on the road with a quarantine. Could we have a driving lesson today?" So she drove through a series of roundabouts, walked me through what she looks for when she enters, and never change lanes when you're in it. Then we exchanged seats. My heart was in my throat. Cars whip around these things. How will I know what lane they'll go into? What if they switch on me? What if my anxiety makes the car combust? I needed to let people know that I am not a knowledgeable driver. So I put on my emergency flashers. That seemed apt. As I approached the roundabout, my blood pressure was through the roof. I rolled down the windows and tried to breathe slowly as my emergency flashers ticked away, on, off, on, off. My mother was as patient then as she was 25 years ago, walking me through the process. Choose your lane early, drive defensively, stay in your lane, and you don't need to stop if there is no traffic. It might be some time before this pandemic clears, but this new world isn't all bad. We are learning the art of slowing down, and we are getting driving lessons all over again. Mother and daughter are back in the car as the mother teaches the art of driving, with some caution, yes, but just as importantly, moving through the world with confidence. In some mysterious way, the circle completes.
Crystal Chan is a storyteller and author based in Chicago. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Carl Christensen.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.